copy of God's Word. We're going to just go through the book tonight, chapter 14. I want to look at tonight what John saw, and we're going to read Revelation 14, just verse number 1, and then we'll pray. I ask you to stand, as we always reverence the reading of God's Word tonight. And the Bible says, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads." Father, I love you, and I thank you for this night. Lord, they're all over the room tonight, prayer requests, unspoken, folks that's had amputations. Lord God, folks that's tried to commit suicide, folks that are cutting themselves. Father, folks that's got a lot going on, and tonight I have not the answers, but I have the answer. And his name is Jesus tonight. Lord, I don't know what my problem is or anybody else's problem in this room is going to be tomorrow, but I know what the woman at the well did. She went to Jesus. I know what the woman with the issue of blood did. She went and found Jesus. I know what the maniac did there at Gadara. He went and found Jesus when Jesus showed up. So tonight, I would ask you tonight to let Jesus sit down amongst these people's lives. Lord, I pray tonight that you just allow the Holy Ghost to encamp this service tonight. Lord, I pray that we'd be careful to always give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. I thank you tonight that I pastor this church. I thank you tonight that we stand on the old path, the old way tonight, Father. I thank you tonight that we have gratitude tonight, and we thank you for what you do tonight. Lord God, I pray for the next few moments that you guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Let everything I say tonight be all about you. Lord, I pray tonight for Brother Joey's daughter, Nikki, Lord, as his Lynetta's daughter that they lifted up. Lord, it's come to my mind for some reason. Please touch that situation. Help as only you can. Lord, I ask you to do it in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated tonight. Revelation chapter number 14, as we come, we see that it takes us back to the beginning of the tribulation. As you read this, you'll understand that it'll take you back to the beginning of the tribulation, and it takes us to the end in this one chapter. And we look into this chapter, and we'll see what John saw concerning the judgment of God. What John saw concerning the judgment of God. Hey, can I say to you tonight, before God will ever judge somebody, they'll have the opportunity to see the Savior face to face. God will never judge anybody until they have seen Jesus Christ face to face. And you say, wait a minute, preacher, what about somebody that lives in a foreign country or in a foreign world and they're innocent and they don't know God? Well, number one, they're not innocent. For all sin and come short of the glory of God. Amen. Hey, none of us are innocent tonight. So he'll show himself by the Creator or by creation. But in verse number 1 he said, And I looked, and lo, a lamb that stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. You say, preacher, tonight when he saw the Savior, what did he see? Tonight, can I say that he saw a standing, that the Savior was standing as a champion. He was standing there, no longer slain, as he saw him in chapter number 5 in verse number 6. Turn with me, if you will, there to Revelation chapter number 5 in verse number 6. At first, when John seen the Savior, he seen him as one that had been slain. But when you get over to chapter number 14, he's no longer slain. Hey, but he is a risen Savior. Amen. He is high and lifted up, and he is standing as a champion. But in Revelation 5, in verse number 6, John said, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." I say to you tonight that he's no longer a slain lamb, but he is standing as a champion. And you say, when he stands there on that mount, how is he going to stand? He'll stand as a champion, but he'll also stand with the chosen. Hey, can I say to you tonight, if you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ tonight, it doesn't matter what comes your way, what you go through, what you'll see in a day, I want you to know tonight, Jesus Christ will always stand beside you tonight. He won't stand behind you, He'll stand in front of you. Amen. He says tonight that He stood with the 144,000. They was the witnesses that witnessed for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He wasn't only standing as a champion. He wasn't only standing with the chosen, but He was standing courageously. As He stood on that mount and He was fixing to rain down His judgment, He was standing there going to make all things right. Did you know tonight when He saw the Savior, He saw something that just changed His life. Can you imagine tonight as you've seen Him slain, but now you see Him not slain. He is alive. And you say, preacher, as He saw that Savior, what else did He see? Not only did He see the Savior, but He seen the angel with the gospel. Tonight I want you to get this in Revelation 14. Anytime you see Jesus Christ, the first time you see Jesus, the last time you see Jesus, in the middle when you see Jesus, every time you see Jesus, you ought to be able to see the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the gospel this afternoon, and He is the gospel forever. Look in verse number 6, He said, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. He said tonight He saw the Savior, but He saw the angel with the gospel. And you say, what did He have? He was a messenger there to proclaim. And I want you to get this tonight. When men are silent, the gospel will still be spread. Hey, these angels are spreading the gospel. Hey, when men has been quiet and they won't lift up the name of Jesus and they get quiet, can I say to you tonight that His word will go forth? In Luke 19 and verse number 40, the Bible said, and Jesus answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, if who should hold their peace? If His disciples should hold their peace, that the rocks will cry out. You know what, tonight, if you don't want to cry out about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, if you don't want to take that opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus and He wants it told to a certain individual, I want you to know He'll move me, He'll move you out of the way, and He'll put the person in the path that will witness about Jesus Christ. He said He saw the Savior and He saw the angel with that gospel. And you say He had a messenger to proclaim, He had that angel. But what was the message that He did proclaim? It was an everlasting message. The gospel never gets old. Amen. And what was that? What was He saying there when He said He went to the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth? What do you think He preached? He preached nothing different than we preach today. The gospel, the gospel. Hey, you can't change it. You can't add nothing to it. And you can't take nothing from it. When He got that message and He started proclaiming, the first thing that angel would say and said here is that men need to repent. And that'll always be. Men and women need to repent. Boys and girls need to repent. Tonight, can I say to you, Sister Christy, that little girl there, she needs to repent. You say she looks so innocent. She looks so whatever. The little girl that I was talking about the other day, that's still sin. And you know what? Tonight, we get it caught up in that repentance is not necessary. Hey, can I say to you tonight, repentance is necessary to have a relationship with Christ Jesus. He said they must repent. Hey, men may need to repent. And God is to be glorified and worshiped. Forgiveness is only found in Christ Jesus. Forgiveness is only found in Christ Jesus. And you can't have a relationship without repentance. Without repentance, you can't have a relationship. The Bible says in Romans 2:4, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. When I do wrong and you do wrong, or any of us in this room do wrong, you know what we do? It don't take long. The Holy Ghost to get on us, amen, and to a child of God. And he'll start putting that finger on you. He'll start wearing you out. What does He want you to do? Does He want you to feel miserable? Why, Lord, no. Does He want you to feel down and out? Why, Lord, no. What is He wanting you to do? He's wanting you and He's wanting me to repent of what I've done and turn back to God and get in line with Him. He said there was an everlasting message. He was telling these folks they needed to repent, to glorify God and worship Him. Forgiveness is only found in Christ Jesus. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. So tonight, that's how you're saved tonight, through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hey, when God's judgment comes, number one, they have seen the Savior. You won't be judged until you have seen the Savior. Whew, that's something. You have seen the Savior. What about a little kid that's real young that's never come to the age of accountability? That kid won't be judged. That kid's under the age of accountability. Hadn't come to that age yet. Well, what is that age? The Bible's not clear with it tonight. Why ain't it clear tonight? Because if you knew that age, you'd be judging people. And that's not what it is tonight. So tonight, I know that message, that first you got to see the Savior. Also, the gospel, you've got to hear the gospel. But thirdly, let me give you this. They saw, John saw the destruction and the judgment to come. If you'll look with me in verse number 8, I want to show you that he saw destruction when the judgment comes. When judgment comes, there's destruction that follows. I want you to get this tonight. He says in verse number 8, and there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen. That's double wanting you to know. That great city, because she made all nations a drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. If you go back to Genesis chapter number 10 and you read through there around 9, 10, 11, that verse, you'll see in there where Babylon come on. They had a dictator there. They had a leader there named Nimrod. And you know what he did. You know what he took place in. You know what all let down. And when all that gets coming down, I want you to know there's idolatry, there's false religion, and that spread from Babylon. And tonight I want you to get this, idolatry and false religion. And you say this, you say, I tell you what, I've been witnessing somebody, and I told them, hey, don't worry about coming to Union Chapel. Don't worry about it. Just find you a church and get in it. You be careful telling somebody, just find you a church and get in it. You be careful. You say, well, preacher, no, listen to me, man. I just want to share and be honest. We ain't the only church. Amen? We ain't the only church. We ain't the only church. I'm saying this on live feed. We ain't the only church. But don't you tell somebody. I just wish they'd find a church and get in it and be faithful. Because not every building's got a steeple on it's a church. Not every one of them is a church. Not every one of them believes in the virgin birth. Not every one of them believes that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Not every one of them believes that there's going to come a day that he's going to judge this world. Not every one of them believes that you must repent. You know, there's a lot of people that's leaving out the key thing there, that you must repent and ask Christ Jesus to come into your life. You be careful tonight when you say, oh, it don't hurt, it don't bother, it don't matter, it's okay. Yes, it does. How you stand on that book is how that church will be judged. How you stand on that book. So tonight, be careful. When you say, I just pray they just get in a church. Just get one that they like and that church don't judge them. That church don't have, and they just feel good when they go there. You know what the Bible says? Judgment. First, judgment must start at the house of the Lord. If you walk in here every week and you never feel any judgment, oh me as a pastor. If you walk in and out them doors living in sin, walking in sin, wallowing in sin, and you walk in and out and you never have no conviction on your life, oh me as a pastor, I've not opened the book. I've not done the book justice. When I read that book, I want y'all to know it wears me out one side, up one side, and down the other. That book shows me I can't live just anyway. The Bible says in 1 Peter, said, be ye holy for he is holy. Amen. And that's what it is tonight. There's judgment that comes not from the people in the room, but judgment comes from the book that being preached out of. That book's full of judgment. You say, well, I don't really think he's going to judge. He's going to judge. You know why he's going to judge? Because he has the authority to judge. Can I say he's the author of judgment? And he's going to judge rightly and accordingly tonight. Let me show you this tonight. Boy, I love getting on this part right here. It just does my heart good. Amen. Look what he says tonight. He saw the destruction and the judgment. And that judgment of those who worship the Antichrist. In Revelation 19:20, the Bible says, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, and wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. So tonight, there's going to come a judgment one day. And I want you to look with me in verse number 10. When this judgment comes, this final judgment comes here, and we see what's going to happen. I want you to get this tonight. In verse number 10, and the ones that's judged, that's got the mark of the beast, here's what's going to happen. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Can I say judgment's real? They will drink of the wrath of God. They will drink of the wrath of God. You say they won't open their mouth. They won't have no choice. It'll be put in them. Amen? That wrath will come on them. They ain't got no choice. The judgment is real. Can I say to you, the judgment is released in verse number 10. Not only is it real, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out. It's going to be released. It's going to be poured out. Today, did y'all see the storm that come up a little bit and got raining? Man, people have been praying for rain, needing rain. We was in a drought. It was dry. And you can't do nothing about it. God's got to send that rain. They can water these fields over here all they want to water them, but it won't do what God can do when he makes it rain. And that's the same way his judgment is. When he starts pouring it out, they're going to want him to stop, and he's not going to stop. It's going to be too late. The judgment is real. The judgment is released. It will not be diluted with mercy or grace. At this moment, there'll be no more mercy, and there'll be no more grace. But also, the judgment is relentless. And look in verse number 10. Said, which is poured out with mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone. Man, it's going to be relentless. It's going to be tormented with fire. But let me give you this. Not only the judgment is relentless, but the judgment is revealed. Look who he's revealed in front of. I got a guardian angel. I got a guardian angel. I seen an angel. Beautiful little creature. Beautiful little angel. What we love here, and we say, oh, the angels are so, they're going to be watching all this take place. What everybody tattoos on their body now, a picture of an angel, and everybody loves angels. Listen to me. When that time comes and his judgment's poured out, that angel ain't on your side and it ain't on my side. Do you remember in the book when he looked up and he said, the angel of the Lord was standing there and he said, whose side you're on? And the angel looked at him and said, I'm not on nobody's side. I'm just here to take over. He said, I ain't on nobody's side. Angel don't take sides. It don't take your side. It don't take my side. It does what is dispatched from heaven. As it's dispatched. I have no control over an angel. You have no control over an angel. It's dispatched from heaven. They're under one person's authority. And it's God Almighty. Judgment is revealed in the presence of holy angels. Get this tonight. Man, when I read this, it blew my mind. Them angels are going to be standing there in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Judgment's going to be revealed. You see, you don't think Jesus, when them people are cast into the lake of fire and they're burning and torment, they're in hell burning forever. And folks don't believe this. They believe everybody's going to heaven, that we're all children of God, that we all, hey, he loves everybody. And he'd send nobody. Folks, that ain't Bible. Listen to me. That ain't Bible. They're right. He loves everybody. For God so loved the world, but he's got a plan. And you got to do what he says. You say, what's going to happen when that lamb is standing there that was slain for the sin of the world and all them folks are cast into a devil's hell? What's he going to do? Is he not going to show grace? Is he not going to show mercy? No, it's over. Even Jesus Christ draws a deadline. So how do you know that? Revelation 14, verse number 10. What he died to save you from, if you won't accept that Savior, that wrath is on you. Presence of the holy angels in the Lamb. I see not only did he see the Savior, he saw the angel with the gospel, and he saw the destruction and judgment to come, but he saw the Son of Man, Son of God. He saw the Son of Man with the sickle. He saw him with the sword. He saw him with the sickle. He saw him what would cut everything down. What would cut it down. Look with me tonight, if you will, in verse number 14. Does this alarm y'all at all? Man, when I get reading this and I get thinking about folks that's going to be left behind, and I get thinking about the folks that's going to be in Union Chapel. Man, I'm telling you, as a pastor, man, it's been burdening me. And I get thinking about the folks that's going to come in that Sunday morning. And they're going to want to know where everybody's at. And they're still sitting on the pew. Man, it's just alarming me. It alarms me. Man, I got family I don't want to see left behind. Man. I got folks on the church row here at Union Chapel I don't want to see left behind. You can have your name on the row all you want it. That won't do you a bit of good if Jesus Christ ain't living in your heart. And that blood ain't applied. Man, it wears my head out. You shouldn't have to visit a church member in jail. That's not right. It's not right, folks. It's not Bible. It's not of God. Preachers shouldn't be getting out. They should be stepping up and getting in right now. Man, the end's coming. I'm telling you. with all my heart tonight. Be ready. Be ready. I took the church roll from the church. Looked over the church roll. I counted 110 people that no longer attends this flock. 110. I said, "Preacher, where you got? I don't know where they're at. You could put an APB out on them, couldn't find them probably." A majority of them, though, I know, isn't attending anywhere. So what does that do to you, preacher? That burdens my heart in a mighty, mighty way. Because I know there's an end coming. And you know who he's coming back for? He's coming back for his church. He's coming back for his bride. He said he saw the sun with the sickle in verse 14. He said, "I look and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one set like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown." That's a victor's crown, by the way. He's a champion. "And in his hand a sharp sickle that ain't going to be dull. Another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, 'Thrust in the sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe.'" You say, what does that mean, preacher? The harvest is ripe. It means it's rotten. It means it's rotten. It's overripe. It's of no good. You know, when it's time to get tomatoes off a vine, if you leave it, let's stay out there too long, Brother David, what happens? Rotten. Gets too ripe. Gets too ripe. They've hung on grace and mercy. It's been there all this time for them. And they wouldn't take it. They wouldn't take it. And they got too ripe for the things of this world. Too ripe. And they became rotten. It also shows that God has withheld his judgment to the last minute. They went all the way through every phase of the life. You say, what do you mean? Let me give you this. "And he sat on the cloud thrusting the sickle of the earth, and the earth was reaped. Another angel came out of the temple in verse 17, which is heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. Another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, cried with a loud cry to him, had the sharp sickle, saying, 'Thrust in my sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe.'" I want to stop right here and show you something. The vine of the earth shows the counterfeit of Satan once again in the book of Revelation. Jesus is the only vine. The earth doesn't have a vine. Jesus is the only true vine. John 15:5, the Bible says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." And if you look on down to verse number 20, "And the wine press was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the wine press, even into the horse's bridle, by the space of 1,600 furlongs." Blood that flows up to the horse's bridle. Flows up to the horse's bridle. Last time we went over this, a couple weeks ago, Brother David come up and did the math on it with me, and that would be, Brother Harold, you'll know this, that'd be like leaving from here going to Montgomery, Alabama, about 200 miles. Close. Maybe a few more, a few less. And told how wide and how deep that would be, we did the calculation. And could you imagine men, women, blood flowing from here to Montgomery, Mississippi? I mean, Montgomery, Alabama, that thick, that wide. I said, "Preacher, you really think it's going to be that way? The Bible says it, and I believe it all. Genesis to Revelation, I believe it all. I believe it all." The more you read this, can I share something with you just a second? I know we're running out of time. The more you read this book, the more serious you'll get about it. If this stays in the dash of your truck and never gets out, stays by your bed and never opens up, if more of this is open, the more serious you'll get about it. The more you'll say, "Whoa, whoa, man." But God loves everybody. He does. But his judgment's coming one day. You're not going to laugh. Us, the United States, the world, is not going to laugh in his face. And that's where we're at tonight. His judgment's coming. I don't leave you on a bad note. I leave you on a happy note. It's going to be a lot of needy people at that time. This morning was my turn to take my mama to the doctor. And we got in the car and she needed a bottle of water. I got her a bottle. Going to be a lot of needy people then. Got her a bottle of water. We got to the doctor this morning around 9 o'clock. She needed something else. I got her that. We got going up through there. She needed something else. I got her that. We got into the room. They laid her up on the table. She needed a pillow. We got her that. Then she needed her shoes. We got her that. The little old nurse come in, and she said, she looked at trying to find her name. I said, wait just a minute. And she said, yes, sir. I said, can you make a correction on that paper, please? And she said, why? What's wrong? I said, her middle name needs to be changed. She said, what do you want to change it to, sir? I said, Shirley Nita Mills. Shirley Nita Mills. And Mama sat there and she said, my... And she bust out laughing. She was doom and gloom, and she bust out laughing. And she said, you wouldn't do that. So we got coming home, and my phone rung. I put it up. She said, who is that? I said, that's Chasta. And it was. And she said, what's she want? I said, she's getting home to the Social Security office. She said, what for? I said, we're getting that middle name changed. She said, you better not start that. You know, and she didn't say not do it, Sister Pat. She said, do you know how hard it is to get your name changed? I've been that for years. And I said, I know. And when she said that, I thought about something. You know why people ain't got a name change? Because they've been who they are for years. They just been who they are for years. They don't want a name change. They'll go to church, but don't you label me as a Christian. No. I'm not a holy roller. I'd rather be a holy roller than a dead one. Listen to me. I'd rather say, boy, he's crazy. Thank you. I'll take that too. He's off the deep end. Thank you. I'll take that too. You ought to see me before. I was off the deep end. I was crazy. And then I met Jesus. No longer am I worried about his judgment. I'm not worried about his judgment. But he's burdened my heart for other people. I don't want them to go through that judgment that's going to come that day. You said, preacher, that's going to be 1,000 years from now. No, it ain't. It ain't gonna, I'm not going to tell you when because I don't know when. Nobody knows when, but it ain't going to be long. So as we got opportunity to witness, let's witness. Because there's a time coming. But I thought about that. A lot of people needs a name change, but they won't. They think it's too much to go through to get it changed. Tonight, if your name's never been changed, you need it. You need it. Brother Dill, it got on you the other day, didn't it? It got on you, didn't it? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But you couldn't put your hands on it. Huh? That's how he works. He can get on you, but you can't get on him. And that's what's going to happen in his judgment. He's going to be on them, but they ain't going to be able to get on him. Father, I love you, and I thank you for this night. Lord, I thank you that I've had a name change, and when that time comes in the great tribulation, I'm going to be gone. Father, I pray everybody under the sound of my voice tonight will be gone. Lord, I pray they get an attitude tonight saying, I'm gone. I'm not staying here. They ain't going to have to prize my hand off nothing. I know when I'm gone, I'm gone, and I'm going to be with the Lord. Lord, tonight I pray that we look up and we see the Savior and we see the gospel and we see your judgments coming. And when you come, the Son's coming with the sickle. And he's going to take care of business. Bless your people tonight. In Jesus' holy, precious name. All of God's people said. Amen and amen. Love on somebody.